This week sees the bicentenary of the birth of St. John Newman, the first US bishop to be canonized. He was born in Bohemia in what is now the Czech Republic, and Cardinal Justin Rogali of Philadelphia, the same see where St. John was bishop, has been appointed as the papal legate at celebrations marking the 200th anniversary of Newman's birth in his home country. John Newman was born in 1811, and after not succeeding in his keen desire to be ordained as a priest in his native Bohemia, moved to the United States, where he was ordained in the Diocese of New York. In 1842, he joined the Order of the Redemptorists, a congregation of priests and brothers dedicated to helping the poor and most abandoned, and 6 years later was appointed the order's provincial superior in the U.S. In 1852, he was appointed Bishop of Philadelphia, where he was the first to organize a diocesan Catholic school system. John Newman died of a stroke at the age of 48 and was canonized by Pope Paul VI in 1977. These are the bare bones of John Newman's life, but what were his greatest accomplishments and how strongly does his legacy live on today in the U.S.? For an answer to those questions, I spoke to Cardinal Rogali in Philadelphia, the same city where the saint lived, died, and is buried.
Besides being the fourth bishop of Philadelphia and a very zealous bishop, a missionary bishop who came from his native Bohemia to preach the gospel here in the United States, besides all of that, he ends up being the first canonized male saint in the United States, the first bishop to become a saint. So that has tremendous effect on the United States, and his devotion is found in many places outside of Philadelphia.
Tell us briefly about his life history and what kind of a man and what kind of a priest he was.
Well, he was born in Bohemia, and he obviously was attracted in his youth to the priesthood because he entered the seminary in his native land, and it wasn't, however, until he came to the United States that he was ordained a priest in New York. And at that time, he was only 26 years of age. And that began his whole activity, his missionary activity, his pastoral activity, and he served in New York, and he served other places. He served in Pennsylvania, he served in Maryland, and not too many years after he was ordained a priest, 6 years after that, he entered the Redemptorist Order. He himself experienced a need for community, and so he became actually the first Redemptorist to be professed in the United States. And he continued to serve a pastoral role in Baltimore, and he also became acquainted with Archbishop Kenrick, who at that time was the Archbishop of Baltimore. Eventually, he became the successor of Archbishop Kenrick, not in Baltimore, but in Philadelphia. So he became a bishop very young. He became a bishop in 1852, which meant he was 41 years of age. He was ordained a bishop on his birthday. His short pastoral role in Philadelphia concerned itself with great things. He had a great love for the people, a great love for the immigrants, a great love for the Holy Eucharist. He promoted 40 hours devotion in a very extraordinary way here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So he gave of himself, was always in order to help people to know the gospel and to live the gospel. He comes forth as a pastoral figure in the United States, a bishop of whom we are all very, very proud.
How strong is his legacy 200 years after his birth?
Well, you know, St. John Newman, he is buried right here in Philadelphia in St. Peter's Church. It was his desire to be buried there because he was a Redemptorist. He's buried under the altar in the basement church, and there is a constant flow of pilgrims to this shrine. It was Pope John Paul II who came as a pilgrim in 1979. It was my great privilege, for the first time in my life to visit St. John Newman together with John Paul II as he came to Philadelphia in 1979. But that pilgrimage is uninterrupted, and we have pilgrims always. His feast day is celebrated with great... His memory is very much alive, and his body remains with us.
And talking about his body, I gather one interesting point is that a stole that had been draped over the body of the saint was given as a gift by President Barack Obama to Pope Benedict when he came to the Vatican in 2009. Is that right? Do you know a little bit about the story behind that?
Well, the stole was actually a stole that had been on St. John Newman, I believe, and it belonged to the Redemptorist. So I believe that the president received it from the Redemptorist. It did not represent a gift to the archdiocese. It was simply a stole that the Redemptorist had, and the president received it in some way, and he decided to give it to the Pope.
He was clearly an exceptional figure, but if you had to sum up, just say, one or two of his greatest accomplishments, what would you say they were?
Well, we would certainly talk in terms of how effective he was in promoting devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, promoting the aims of the Second Vatican Council, years in anticipation, the tremendous devotion that he personally had, the devotion that was established in the Archdiocese through the 40 hours devotion, and that was an extraordinary thing. Another thing that he did was his insistence on Catholic schools. And so he's looked upon as someone who did a great deal to lay the basis for Catholic schools in the United States. And that is an extraordinary accomplishment. Something else that he did was his extraordinary pastoral care for the immigrants. And Philadelphia was certainly a city of immigrants. He was blessed with native talent to speak languages, and therefore he made an effort to speak in a number of different languages. He could speak in German, he could speak in Italian, but he also learned Gaelic, because at that time there were the Irish who had come over, and some of them were Gaelic-speaking. So he made enough effort to be able to minister to them, to hear confessions in Gaelic. But the point is that he was so conscious of the cultural diversity that was present at that time, and how pastorally it was so necessary to face this issue, face this question, and he did it himself as the bishop, leading the way and showing this tremendous pastoral love for the people of God.
Moving to the present, how is the 200th bicentenary of his birth in his native land of Bohemia, which is now, of course, the Czech Republic? How has it been celebrated there? Can you tell us a little bit about these celebrations?
The purpose of the celebration, I received a letter from the Holy Father in which he appointed me to be the papal legate. And one thing he said in that letter was very significant, because it kind of zeroes in on the purpose of the celebration. And he says, "As you speak of this distinguished man of the Church and of his untiring activity, you will encourage all those who participate in the event to show by the example of their daily life, by the renewed zeal of their piety, a special love for Christ and the gospel." So I believe that Holy Father is saying for the celebration of holiness in the Church in this particular moment, St. John Newman becomes a challenge to all those who are celebrating this anniversary.
I was speaking to Cardinal Justin Rugali, Archbishop of Philadelphia.